All right, we're recording. Let's stop talking crap.
Why are we recording already? I haven't even got my headphones on.
We go over this every week. If we wait for you to get ready, we will never start.
Bite me. Hey, look, I got new glasses.
Oh, you got your trifocals.
Yes. Look at that. I can see you guys. I'll be able to sit here and crochet at the same time. I'm so excited.
Have you ran into anything or anything like that? No. Have you had any negative side effect?
The only problem
I can't tell from over here. I can't tell that they're trifocals.
The so only it blends problem, in really well. Yeah, they do. The only problem that I really have, which I had it with my other glasses too, just because of the bifocal part. If I look down when I'm walking, it looks like I need to make a big step up. So I really need to take them off when I'm walking so that keeps me from falling.
Did you get Aurora Borealis fingernails?
They're actually sunsets.
Oh.
And they have, what are those things called? Cat's tails.
Oh, yeah.
And grass. And then they have butterflies on the
top.
Aw. The butterflies are for Amber's birthday.
Oh.
Because we always think of Amber when we see butterflies.
I love them. It reminds me of the Northern Lights. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So pretty.
Did you guys watch the meteor shower?
No, I saw some of nothing. Them.
I went out two nights in a row, but, you know, sitting back with your neck bent back hurts after a little while. So I watched for about 30 minutes each night.
Well, you're in town also, so it might be a little more harder to see.
I saw several of them, not like... Good. As much as
you guys
I was
must
hoping.
Have seen more up here than what I did, because I had Ziggy out and I watched for a little bit, but I didn't see nothing.
I saw a lot, not as many as I saw the last meteor shower, but there was one that was so far down and I got like really nervous. Like all of a sudden I thought, oh my God, that's going to crash to the ground. Like it's going to hit behind my house or something.
Thank God it's over.
And this is how the humankind ends.
Hey, that's a quick way to go. I mean, we wouldn't even know it.
True.
We'd just be like, what's that? Poof.
Right.
Really makes me sad, though, because I didn't see any.
There'll be more.
And I did notice that somebody else on my Facebook timeline, I can't remember, seen the Northern Lights somewhere and had taken pictures. It was
looking.
Like at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. One morning, they had heard that you could see them again. They went out and took a couple pictures. And I'm like, I don't
her Facebook
know
timeline.
I kept looking. Like, I even went out around 2 a.m. because that's supposed to be like the peak time for it, but couldn't see jack shit. I ain't ever gonna see them. That's one of my bucket list is to just see the Aurora Borealis.
Yeah, mine too.
I would love to go north.
Yes.
Norther.
I
want
to stay in those igloos with the glass.
That would be so cool.
Ceilings.
Yeah. When Maya really sends us those videos on Snapchat, I'm always so jealous.
So jealous.
It just looks like magic.
Yeah.
Like just pure magic.
We're talking about our friend in Norway, and she's in the very northern part of Norway, of course. And so she just
Maya.
She has the very best sights of the Northern Lights. Absolutely amazing.
Jealous. Her, it's as common just another, as a foggy day.
Yeah, just another day.
Just go out and smoke her cigarettes like all the other Europeans on the front porch. Oh,
it's
look.
It's so bright
there's
tonight.
All those lights again. I wish they'd hush up so I can get some sleep. I feel attacked by your shirt. I don't know, whenever you
dogs
wear that shirt.
Dogs are my favorite people.
It's because I love this shirt.
Sup,
and
dog.
It is the truth.
Except
dogs
your dog.
Are my favorite people.
Never shuts up. Never hushes up.
You know, there's no reason for us to ever hang out together again outside
Agreed.
Of work because, no, he comes to my house.
All right, let's end this.
He
let's
was
push
bored
start.
The
Stop.
Other day. What day was that? Saturday?
No, I went over there to help you hang your curtains, which we got to talk about.
I just get
we'll
tension
get there.
Rods.
Just,
so much
just
easier.
Calm down. You went, come over to help. You did not come over to help him do that.
I
you were bored
perfect.
As hell. You
I supervised.
Bored as hell. Anyway, I think that was that Saturday or Sunday?
I don't know. I lost
I don't
track.
Remember. Anyway, he comes over, and every time we get ready to say something to each other, we're like, oh, can't say that. That's going to say for the show. Oh, can't say that. That's going to say for the show.
Then
so
you
we
forget
have
by the time
about.
We record.
I know. Mm. Well, I tried to write it down. And then by the time I get to where I need to go to write it down, I then forget to write it down.
Put it in a note in your phone.
Well, I have a place in my phone to do that, but then I forget to do that. It's a it's
if I don't do it
problem.
Right. Yeah, if I don't
I'm
do
in
it
recovery.
Right away.
I'm in recovery, Kim.
If I don't do it right away, I don't remember.
I know.
No, I'll remember. Like as I'm falling asleep, like laying there almost. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll remember in the morning.
You know what? No, you so won't. Today is my mystery. Mm-hmm. My mystery is a little long. And Josh is going to be our next mystery for next week. So why don't we save that story for Josh's? Because mine's going to be a little longer. I don't know how long Josh's is.
Usual.
Okay. So let's save that whole story for Josh's. Because I also wanted to tell you a couple other things. And we can talk about other things. But I wanted to also tell you, have you guys been to that new... Now, our listeners are going to be so mad at me because I can never remember how it's pronounced. But it's I think it's Euro. The Euro place that's in town?
No, I didn't know we had one.
Okay, now, when I describe it, you're going to get a little weirded out.
Oh, because I know where it's at. I seen it on my way out. As you enter town,
it's at that really weird, kind of shady hotel.
Oh, the Knights Inn, where that breakfast place used to be?
Yeah, but that Euro place is also like a... It's I think it's called King Euro in Marion.
Yeah.
And it's well known in Marion.
Yeah, as like Anderson.
And it's the one in Marion is well known for its like ribs and its Euros. So it's known as a really good place. And so the same owner like is renting that place. And so I went with my friends, the Bacos. And so we all went there and I was just like, look, I've never been to that hotel. I've heard some weird stories. Side note. There was a news story like the week prior about someone had gotten caught at that same hotel with like one of those like AK-47s or something.
Jesus.
What? Yeah. I mean, like the hotel, like people.
It's a Knights Inn motel.
You might be able to rent it by the hour. I mean, it's people are staying there weekly. I mean, it's not a great place.
Gotta pay extra for towels.
There's no ice machine.
Oh, God.
There's a sign as you walk in that says, like, no ice machine. So, like, they got problems, okay?
So, I wonder why if they're, you know, they do so well in Anderson and in Marion. Yeah. Why did they pick such a...
I don't think there's a lot of restaurant locations in Wabash, like, good ones. And it's a pretty decent location because there's some smaller towns as you enter Wabash that it could get. And it's probably cheap rent. Probably. So he probably has word of mouth. And I'm telling you what, when I went there, place was packed. And it was early dinner. Like I'm telling, we went there at 4 o'clock.
Do they have a drive-through?
No.
No.
Damn. I'm going to pick some up.
I went there and it was so good. I enjoyed it. It was really good.
I love the tzatziki cucumber sour cream
sauce. Oh, it was good. Now, my friends had ordered the ribs. I don't do ribs.
They're gross there. They're like real fatty and
I don't like them. I don't do ribs at all. I don't do ribs. But they liked them. I don't do them. But there was like you saw food come out and there it's big portions. So be prepared. I mean, I ain't going there.
So I don't have to. Right? I ain't eating at a restaurant at a Knights Inn. That's nasty.
You can
are the cockroaches
go.
Included? No, thank you.
I mean, extra protein. But I got it. I got my meal and then I ate half of it and I had dinner for the next day, which I brought to Kim's house. But it was so good. So I really enjoyed it. And I was just like, it's so nice that I had not had a Euro in so long.
Well, I had never had anything like that. And when we went to
Nashville.
Yeah. We had gone to a Greek place there and I had one and it's so good.
We went after the Civil Rights Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we liked it so much, we ended up going back the next day for lunch, too.
Yeah, it was a breakfast place when I first moved here. Because, you know, when you move to a new town, you're like, oh, let me try all the restaurants.
Yeah.
And I put in my GPS, and I pulled up, and I saw the sign. I was like, in the Knights Inn, I ain't eating here.
Yeah, and I had never been to any of the restaurants in it before, because I agree. Knights Inn,
you can taste the sin.
It's like an Anderson. It's like an Anderson. There was that hotel that had a sign. It's always like...
Caller TV.
Air conditioning.
That's not there anymore. You know? It's been tore down.
Yeah,
doorknobs.
Right. It's like they're advertising things that should come standard. So that's how you know it's a shady place. That's what this Knights Inn is kind of reminding me of, you know.
Oh, by the way, as I was coming through Marion, I went past where you used to live, the road that you turned to go on. You know, that four-way stop there, they've made that into an actual light.
Oh, yeah. They've done that a while ago.
It's a blinking light.
No, not anymore. It's an actual stoplight.
Well, it used to be, but then they started turning it into a blinking light. Funny story. When I first moved over into Marion because I couldn't find a house here in Wabash, I drove over into that neighborhood to meet my realtor, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a chocolate factory. Cause like there's this building that you pass and it has like this sign outside and it's right next to the Catholic church, which I was like, you know, whatever. I can look past living in a neighborhood across from a Catholic church.
Living next to molesters
yeah, and all that. I can look past that, whatever, God bless. If there's a chocolate factory right here. Well, I get there and I was talking to the realtor, super nice lady. And I was like, you know what my favorite thing about this place is? And she's like, what? And I was like, there's a chocolate factory that I can walk to. And she looked at me and she's like, Shane, I don't think there's a chocolate factory or anywhere in Marion.
I've never noticed that.
That would have increased the mortgage.
Right. I was like, it's right down the road. And she's like, I think you're talking about the funeral home. And I was like, I don't think we're talking about the same place. Why would they put a chocolate factory right next to a funeral home? And as I left, I realized my mistake is that they used font on the sign that looked like a chocolate
factory
font.
Always check your font, people. Yeah. I swear.
And it was like a chocolatey golden color of a font. And the words looked like a chocolate factory font.
How disappointing.
It was very disappointing. And I was like, can you imagine if I would have pulled up in there one day, seen all those cars outside?
They would have sold
you a headstone. Hey, I'm here for some chocolate. Yeah, you know.
We have mints by the counter. That's
right. I'd be waiting in the line for
some chocolate. Well, it's funny because there's like a dentist right by there as well.
Oh, yeah.
I know that because their logo, they have a huge, big old beaver outside of it.
It's a child's children's dentistry. Yeah.
Look at that big old beaver.
Yeah.
So I stopped at the post office and got our mail.
Oh, yeah.
So we have 4 postcards.
Oh my gosh.
Plus some cards. Well, I've been there twice since we've recorded. Okay, and then we have some cards and a package. And I'm assuming those are for my birthday.
Okay.
So do you want to save it all for the next one since yours is going to go long? Or
why don't you go ahead and open your packages and we'll save the postcards.
Okay.
For our next one. I can't take the suspense.
Yeah.
Got to know what Trevor gave you.
We don't want to go too far.
Trevor asked me what would be something funny to give to Kim, and I said something like strong rechargeable batteries or something like that.
It does not feel like batteries.
It's a little thin to be a battery. Yeah,
I'll save it for last.
It must be her new G-string.
Well, this one does have my name on it. However, this one doesn't, but I'm still betting it's probably a birthday card.
She's going to be so disappointed if it's not. Look at her just assuming. What if it's mine? What if it's a car that says, hey, Shane, you're my favorite podcast
Then I'll
host
hand
ever.
It to you and you can have it.
It can't be mine. I'm
with
not
a $100
having a birthday
bill
this year. I'm not turning 34.
All things bright and beautiful.
It ain't for
All
Kim.
That's warm and wonderful. It is a birthday card.
Oh.
All that makes you happiest, that's what this wishes you. Have a wonderful birthday.
Oh,
happy birthday to you.
I hope your birthday was nothing short of wonderful and amazing. You are a blessing to so many, especially those of us who are part of the gang. Sandy.
Aww.
Thank
Kim
you, Sandy.
Sending herself cards now.
Thank you, Sandy.
You're my favorite podcast host. Love, Sandy. There's no Sandy, is there, Kim?
Yes, there's a Sandy.
Where's the card from?
The devil is a liar.
Goodyear, Arizona.
Okay. Hey. I remember that song.
I don't want to live in Arizona, except for the politics. It's a lovely state.
I think I need to explain something real quick, though. So I...
You're supposed to leave the string hanging out.
So I just don't want everybody to think that Shane and Josh both are really bad friends for not doing like what I did for Shane for his birthday. I asked them specifically not to, because I don't do well with my birthday.
Well, I even asked you when your birthday was, and you didn't tell. You were like, I'm not telling you. And I thought it was the 26th of this month.
Oh, Amber's is the 25th.
And then I got on Facebook, and I was like, oh, Kim's birthday was yesterday. She should have told me.
That's a her problem.
Yeah. No, so Amber was my birthday baby. She was born 3 weeks after my birthday, and Emily was born 2 weeks before her dad's birthday. So Amber was always my birthday baby. So when my birthday comes, I know hers is coming. So August is always an extremely difficult time for me, and I'm always sad. And so I would just as leave, not even acknowledge that it happens. But I mean, it still doesn't make any difference. It's still sad. So.
Right.
I'm up there with you. As I get older, the only thing I ever want for my birthday is to sleep with a much older man. So I feel a lot younger. Last year I had two and I felt so young and spry. It was great.
Well, this is from James. At this age, just remember one thing. Oh my gosh, this is so cute.
Well, it's a little
aww, old man. Isn't that cute?
That is so cute.
I should have showed the here. Let me show this one real quick because this one's really pretty.
Oh, that is.
Can you see them all?
Yeah. Matches your nails.
Oh yes, it does. That is so pretty.
If you're listening, you'll have to watch the video so you can see the.
Yeah, sunsets are my thing. So she knew exactly what she was doing.
Read it out loud, Kim.
Kim's way.
I got a Subway card. Thank you so much. Oh,
that's funny because we make fun of you for going to Subway.
Subway, and eat fresh.
Guess what I brought for lunch today?
You could have had it for free.
And then inside of it says happy birthday.
Oh my gosh, I would get her a Subway card that has nothing on it.
You're supposed to fill it yourself. I got you the card.
You're appreciated. Love the podcast. Don't let Shane pick on you too much. Hee-hee. No, this is a small amount, but wanted you to have a Subway gift card so Shane will quit picking on you about Subway. Well wishes and birthday love. That is so funny.
No, I want Subway. That sounds so good.
Well, the name on the outside and the name on the inside is different.
Well, whose name is
no, on the card? Adrian. Adrienne.
Okay.
Adrian.
With love. Right. Sorry, I wrote love out of habit. Another year wiser.
And wider. Go that far.
So cute. Thank you.
How cute.
All right, Trevor.
Man, I love to go to Subway and just get the footlong Italian herbs and cheese with melted cheese and bacon put on it. Like, that's all I want on it. Like a grilled cheese, basically.
Right.
Mm. Let's see.
Okay.
I'm terrified.
I hope he doesn't disappoint us. If it's just like a pencil or something, we're going to
I'm going to look in this because if it's anything bad, I'm not.
No. Oh, crap.
To all of our listeners, my birthday is September 28th and my G-string size is medium.
Right now. He keeps eating them cookies. Send him a large.
Really, Trevor? Really? Groovy, you're turning 100.
Oh, boy.
That looks like us.
He took off a couple of years for you, Kim.
Read out loud.
Read it out loud, Kim. This is
on a podcast.
Show.
Oh my God. I'm sending you this birthday wish to someone who is now too old to sit through a movie without getting up and going to the bathroom.
That is so true.
Amen.
Happy birthday. Hope Shane and Josh take it easy on you for the day.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. You're so old. You wanted to last supper.
Oh, and laminated. Fancy. Oh, Trevor, you spoil.
Uh-huh. You're so old, you sat behind Jesus in the third grade.
That is too good.
You're so old, it was your birthday candles that set global warming in action. Congratulations. Gee, thanks, Trevor.
That is
love thank it, you. Brother. I love the monkeys.
Hilarious.
Yeah,
they're so cute. So-
Yeah, you do like monkeys.
I do.
He probably remembered you saying that.
Well, she is married to one for
I know. Years.
Okay.
Was that really him?
Yeah.
Or are you?
Let's talk about the. Let's.
Were you actually, just messing with her?
Actually, we'll save this for Unmasked.
Okay. Yeah, when you text that, I was like, oh, it's just Shane. Shane's pranking.
I don't think so, but I don't think it was him.
Well, if you are listening.
I'll explain on Unmasked.
If you don't like it, come fight us.
Come find us in the bunker.
Yeah.
If you dare.
All right, Shane, let's get you going or we'll be here all day long.
All right.
Is that bruise from your blood work?
Yes,
it good is. Good God.
It hurt.
Gross.
I know.
A good bruise.
I know. I told you, Kim.
He's a delicate
peach. I bruise
peach.
Like a peach. All right, guys. I thought, we should go on a trip. We should just travel the world. So I am taking us on this episode for a trip. So I got us an itinerary.
Oh, my heavens. God.
I know. I printed you both out.
Oh, how nice.
With pictures.
Let me grab my Imodium.
Our Patreon listeners will also see the itinerary on Patreon, so they can follow along.
All right.
Now,
how am I supposed to hold this and crochet at the same time?
Well, you can just look down when I get to it.
Okay.
I mentioned two of these in my mystery.
Oh, that's funny. Now, we're going to take a six-day mystery tour around the country.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Now, you'll notice on the itinerary, it's 8 days. That's because our Patreon Unmasked listeners are going to be sticking around for two extra days.
Okay. I'll need about 20 pairs of underwear.
We better go start packing now, Josh.
Yeah. Josh, we're going to have
I'm already behind.
I know. Can you imagine if I just like on the spur of the moment was like, guys, in 10 minutes, we need to be on a plane.
I wouldn't.
Josh, I know. I just would be like, all right, well, have fun.
You guys have a good time.
Oh, no.
I would need to have known a year ago.
I would be so fast at throwing things in a bag to get on a plane.
I would wear what I'm wearing.
I would pass out. My brain would just be like, can't.
Kim's like, well, I'm wearing what I'm wearing, and I got this blanket. Yep, I got some crochet stuff. I'll make some undies.
Yeah.
I have my pills in the car, so.
There you go. Yep. All right. So, of course, I'm a glutton for punishment. So, we're going to go places, and we're going to say some names that I'm going to mispronounce. So, if you know the right names for these places, I'm going to, at the top of this, apologize just once, and it's going to be a blanket apology. So here we go. Let's just dive in. Yes, let's just dive in. So on our first day, let's go to Edinburgh in Scotland. Now, I went over to England and I was in the UK. And when I go back, I want to go to Scotland.
That's one of my, that's the one place I want to go like more than anywhere else.
Isn't it supposed to be really lush and green and stuff over there? Yeah,
I've always heard it's really pretty. All the Scotland locals are cussing me out already because they don't pronounce it that way.
Yeah.
It's like Louisville.
Yeah. So on our first day, I thought, in the morning, we will begin the mysterious adventure in Edinburgh, and we're going to dive into the depths of the city's dark past, which is my favorite. Like, history, the past, mysterious things.
They have a long one.
I know. So I found a tour that we could do of the Edinburgh vaults. I spent a lot of time on this for a lot of days, so we're going to have a lot of fun on this trip.
You know, wonder I've not talked to you in about a week.
Kim, I've been busy. Kim would be like, what are you doing? Working. I'm busy.
Leave me alone. That wouldn't make any difference what time of day I had to ask him what he was doing. He's always working.
I told you I woke up yesterday at like 5 o'clock. Mm. What do you think I was working on? Did you hear all the papers printing?
What? And caller photos.
I didn't hear you guys say, my, why is he printing? But anyway, now the underground chambers in the vaults were constructed in the late 18th century. Originally intended to house taverns, workshops, and storage spaces for merchants. However, as the conditions deteriorated due to poor ventilation and frequent flooding, the vaults were abandoned by legitimate businesses and became a refuge for the city's poorest residents, including criminals and those involved in illicit activities.
I'd be there.
Josh would still be down there hooking. Now, the vaults have a grim history with stories of people living in squalid conditions. Squalid is a word from Scotland I looked up.
I've heard of squalor.
Yeah, I've heard of squalor.
Yeah, well, squalid is apparently a local term. And if it's not, then Google misled me.
Pretty much all history was living in squalor in the 1950s.
Unless you lived inside Edinburgh Castle, you were living in squalor. Anyway. So there were a lot of crime and a lot of murder that was happening. And over the years, those chambers have been infamous for their paranormal activity. A lot of visitors and ghost hunters have claimed to have encountered spirits, shadowy figures, and unexplained noises within those faults. So while we're there, we're going to go on a guided tour through those dark corridors.
Ooh, hearing, let's go.
I know. Hearing chilling tales of the vault's most notorious residents and the ghostly apparitions that still linger.
Let it linger.
I know. I found a tour that we could go on, and I was just like, I want to book this.
I was going to say, do you have the tickets yet?
I want to go to Scotland. So the sexiest accent a man can have is a Scottish accent.
It is pretty sexy.
Don't they wear those like
kilts? Mm-hmm. They don't wear nothing underneath them. God
calm bless. Down, Josh.
God bless.
Josh would just be wearing a kilt the entire time. I'm not wearing it.
I would too. No, I'd have some cute undies on underneath. Gotta go.
I bet Grindr just is so popular in Scotland. You can just go into the alley.
I'm talking to a Scottish man on there now.
Everyone's just wearing their
kilts.
He
sent me a picture of him shirtless in a kilt, and I was like, oh, yes, please.
I heard that if you wear underwear underneath a kilt, you are not a true Scottish man. They actually do not wear underwear.
Yeah. It's not a myth. Like, if you do, I mean, if it's cold enough, I guess, if you're a quitter. True blue Scots are not supposed to wear nothing, and it is windy there, let me tell you. It is,
oh my god, hope no one gets pink eye. Anyway, so in the afternoon, let's go exploring. Now we will ascend into Edinburgh Castle. This is a fortress that dominates the skyline of the city from its position atop Castle Rock, which is a volcanic plug. Josh, hush. The castle has served as a royal residence, a military stronghold, and now as a museum showcasing Scotland's rich history. Edinburgh Castle is one of the most iconic landmarks in Scotland, with a history that spans over 1,000 years. The site has been used since at least the Iron Age, just like him. But the castle itself was built in the 12th century. By King David I. As we explore, we'll encounter the Stone of Destiny, which used in the coronation of Scottish kings, and the Crown Jewels of Scotland, which are older than their English counterparts. Now, the Stone of Destiny, that's the stone that they put during the coronation. Yeah. And so, like, they bring it back to England, like, during the most recent coronation. So when I was in England, I got to see the throne or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you can see the place where they slide the Stone of Destiny.
Yeah, in. They like sit over it.
Yeah, I think it was in the 90s when London returned the Stone of Destiny back to Scotland. One of the most intriguing stories is that of the Lone Piper, whose ghost is said to haunt the castle's tunnels. Legend has it that the Piper was sent into the tunnels to explore them, playing his bagpipes so that those above could track his progress. Suddenly, the music stopped, and the piper was never seen again. But some visitors still claim to hear the faint sound of bagpipes echoing throughout the castle.
Bagpipes always give me goosebumps and make my nipples hard. I don't know what it is.
I almost said me too when you said goosebumps, and then you just like went from a 2 to 12 real quick.
When I get goosebumps, I get THO. It's a beautiful instrument when it's played right.
Yeah, I like the sound of them.
Yeah, they are really pretty.
Now, I know our listeners like a good meal. So along with our itinerary, I thought, you know, I'm going to look up local places that we can eat and what type of like local food establishments there are and what is on their menu.
I ain't eat no haggis.
Mm-hmm. I know I wrote down the word haggis and I had to look up what it was. So somewhere we're going to be eating haggis.
No. Stuffed sheep's stomach.
Yeah. Because I had to look up what that was and there were some pictures. Anyway, so for dinner, let's head over to the Witchery, which is by the castle.
Yes, please.
It's a historic and atmospheric restaurant located just a short walk from Edinburgh Castle. The Witchery is housed in a building that dates back to the 16th century and is named after the hundreds of women who were accused of witchcraft and executed on the nearby Castle Hill. The restaurant's dark, Gothic interiors, complete with rich tapestries, candlelit tables, and oak-paneled walls, create the perfect setting for a night of storytelling and mystery.
I wonder if Kim's ancestor stayed at that castle.
Maybe.
What was her name again?
Mary Queen of Scots.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
So for food, the Witchery's menu features classic Scottish cuisine with a gourmet twist. You can start with a bowl of Colin Skink.
That sounds very appetizing. You said
Colin Skink?
Colin. C-U-L-L-E-N. A hearty Scottish soup made with a smoked haddock, potatoes, and onions.
I'll just eat the bread.
I'll eat the potatoes and onions. For the main course, try the haggis. Scotland's national dish made of sheep's offal.
Stuffed sheep's stomach.
It's called sheep's offal, I think. It's O-F-F-A-L, offal. It's internal organs. Mixed with oatmeal, onions, and spices. Traditionally served with neeps, which are turnips, and taties, which are potatoes.
Taters.
Now, I'm not above not at least trying it, a little bite, just to see how it is. No. As long as somebody didn't tell me what it was first.
No, they bring it out to you, and it's bloated. It's a sheep's stomach, and it's, you know, it's been cooked with all this stuff, so it's swollen, and then they puncture it, and the steam comes out, and it deflates a little, and then they cut open the stomach, and all that oatmeal goodness comes out, like stuffing out of a turkey.
No, I couldn't do that.
Okay, hard pass.
So you would definitely know what it is.
Okay, never mind.
All right, guys, I'll try it. Just don't tell me where it is.
A big old throbbing stomach comes to the table.
No.
Okay, I pass.
No. For dessert, we will indulge in
whiskey.
Yeah, it's on here. We will indulge in Crenachan.
Help him lower.
I think so. In Crenachan, it's a, whatever it is, it's a traditional Scottish sweet that's made with whipped cream, honey, fresh raspberries, and it's toasted with oats.
I'd be about that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's often served with just a splash of whiskey. And then we'll pair the meal with a fine selection of Scottish whiskey, and then we'll be fully immersed with the flavors and the history of Scotland.
And then Josh leaves to go behind the back alley and get another flavor of Scotland.
So after dinner, we'll then retire to one of the luxurious suites at the Witchery. Now, each suite is luxuriously decorated with velvet drapes, antique furnishings, and Gothic touches that will make us feel as if we've stepped back in time. The suites are designed to invoke a sense of old-world charm and mystery, with some offering views of the Royal Mile or the castle itself. Now, the Royal Mile is this busy tourist street of the old town. So it's like a really busy, old, a really old town street. It's really cool looking. Now, this atmospheric lodging is the perfect place to end our first day, surrounded by the mystique and history of Edinburgh. Not bad for a first day.
No.
Not bad.
Kim would be so sore.
Oh, yeah, she hurting.
She would be hurting. She'd be...
How many more days of this week?
Ibuprofen. Yep.
Probably.
We'd be pushing her in a wheelchair, probably.
My allergies are really bad today.
Kim, I feel like in every episode, you have an allergy problem. You have a cold.
My eyes are watering so bad.
We're just going to take you up out of this bunker.
Will you take me out back?
With a shotgun.
Take me out back. Just take care of it.
She had a good run.
Yeah, she did.
At least I made it to 56.
Are you only 56?
Yes, I'm only 56.
I'm almost the age Jesus was.
Oh, boy. All right. So for day two, we're going to go over to Reykjavik, Iceland. We're going to begin the day with a trip to...
I'm waiting for this. I've been looking at this word thinking, oh, yeah, it's going to be good.
Thingvellir. Is how it's pronounced. We're going to begin our trip by going over to Thingvellir National Park, a UNESCO World Heritage Site about 40 kilometers northeast of Reykjavik. The park is not only a site of incredible natural beauty, but it's also a place of immense historical and geological significance. It's the location of... I remember looking up how to pronounce this word, and it's not how it looks.
Looks like something Rose Nyland
the would Althingi. Say. It's the Althingi. It has like an ingi at the end. It's the location of the Althingi, the world's oldest parliament, which was established in 930 AD by the Vikings.
Wow.
Yeah. Thingvellir sits in a rift valley caused by the separation of the North American and Eurasian tectonic plates, making it one of the few places on Earth where we can see the effects of continental drift above sea level. The park is dotted with fissures, including the Silfra fissure, a water-filled crack between the plates. Silfra offers a unique snorkeling experience where we can float in a crystal-clear glacial water with a visibility over 100 meters.
Wow.
We would be literally swimming between two continents.
In ice water.
Ooh.
No. It would be warm. Iceland is warm.
Yeah, I know, but glacier water isn't.
Glacier water just means it could be, it could be warm. It could just be.
If it was warm, then the glaciers would melt.
I'll let y'all go in first.
What
kind of predators are melting in the waters here?
But we could be swimming in outfits.
Oh, yeah, them tight.
Yeah.
Well, I wore one of those once for a themed day at the nursing home. I dressed as a scuba diver and I dressed a resident in a wheelchair as a mermaid. We were it was for Halloween.
Oh my gosh.
And I had never worn one. And boy, they keep the sweat in. My God. I took that thing off and I was soaked.
Oh my gosh.
I'd never been so sweaty.
Where did you get it at?
Goodwill, of all places.
Wow.
It kind of reminds me of that scene of Friends where Ross tries to get those leather pants.
Oh, yeah.
Tries to get them. Mm.
Boy, I had to wear swimming trunks over them because it hugs all the curves and crevices. I'm like, I can't wear this around. These old ladies will have a heart attack.
So the park is also steeped in folklore with legends of hidden people, which they call them the Hudofolk, and elves living among the rocks and cliffs, believed by many locals to inhabit the area. I looked at the name of this next place. I'm just like, whoa, why did I hate myself? Okay. After our time, a Thingvellir.
What's that Thingvellir?
Right. We're going to head south, guys, to Lake Klefarvatn.
I don't know.
One of Iceland's most mysterious bodies of water. The lake is located on the Rick James Peninsula.
Rick James, bitch.
That's what I thought. I looked up how to pronounce it. I was like, is it Rake James? And it's Rake James. Yeah. So the Rake James Peninsula, surrounded by dark volcanic landscapes that give it an otherworldly atmosphere.
Ooh, I'd love to go to Iceland. It's so pretty.
Now, this lake is known for its eerie stillness and the strange, unconfirmed reports of a cryptid lurking in its depths.
Ooh.
The creature is often compared to the Loch Ness Monster. It's said to resemble a giant worm or serpent.
Gross.
Arlok, we'd see it, be scared to death. This story, combined with the lake's remote location and stark beauty, has fueled its reputation as one of Iceland's most mysterious natural sites. The lake also has a fascinating geological aspect. Following an earthquake in 2000, the water level dropped dramatically as the lake bed cracked, only to slowly refill in the years that followed.
Nope. Hmm. I was hunted by a dangerous predator the other day. I went to go fishing to get some sunshine, and I knew water snakes are aggressive and territorial, but I did not know that they will not leave you the hell alone once you bother them, because I was reeling in my pole and my bobber went over a snake that was up by the shore about 10 feet from me.
Nope.
But I was like, nope, that's too close. So I threw a rock over at it, not to hit it, just to scare it away. You know, I'm in your home, but leave me alone. No, I pissed it off. It would not leave me alone. It kept sticking its head up out of the water, staring right at me. And it would wait till I threw my pole out and, you know, had my hands busy. And the next thing I know, it's crawling up on the shore next to me.
Oh, hell no.
So I'd throw more rocks. I threw over 10 rocks at this thing, and it still wouldn't leave me alone. Like, it was directly in front of me under a rock in the water, and every few minutes it'd stick its head out and just stare at me. Finally, I threw a rock big enough, I guess, and it finally swam away. But over an hour, this damn thing would not
leave me
alone.
No, I'd be...
I moved. Like, I was like, oh, let me, you know, scary. I'm yeah, in its I home. Let me move down the way. Yeah. And then it followed me down that way. I was like, oh, I'm safe over here. Next thing you know, I look and it's 5 feet from me on the shore. I was like, oh, no,
stalker.
I can't.
Good God. All right. So for dinner, we're going to return over to Rake James. And then we're going to dine at Seagrafen. Now, this is a cozy, rustic seafood restaurant located on the Old Harbor area.
But you won't
eat
seafood.
What are you
going to
eat?
Yeah, right.
Hopefully, they have some chicken tenders. I'll ask nicely. The restaurant is famous for its no-frills approach. With wooden tables and benches, they create a casual and welcoming atmosphere that contrasts the day's mysterious explorations.
Ooh, I love that. I like a good no-thrills approach to an extent. I don't like when I go into a restaurant and they've got like folding tables or picnic tables inside. I'm like, this is too rustic for me.
So this place is known for its lobster soup, a rich and creamy broth filled with tender chunks of Icelandic langoustine. Yeah. We'll go with
Thank you, that. Iron Chef America.
What is that?
Sometimes a type of fish, I believe.
I believe that.
I only know because of Food Network.
Served with fresh bread on the side. At least I'd have fresh bread.
Mm-hmm. I'd be chowing down on that lobster.
Another must try is the grilled Meninki whale steak.
Wouldn't do that.
A delicacy in Iceland, served on skewers. Am I pronouncing that
skewers.
Right? Skewers. Mm-hmm. With a side of mashed potatoes.
Whale and...
If we're feeling adventurous.
Nope.
We can try some hackerel. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Fermented shark. A traditional Icelandic dish with a strong, unique flavor. Mm. Often served in small cubes.
Yummy.
Finish your meal with skyr. I don't know. A creamy yogurt-like dairy product. That is both healthy and delicious, they say.
I don't know about all that.
You don't like yogurt?
Well,
I'll stick with my chicken tenders.
In other countries, I'm like, has this been refrigerated? You know, it's not all countries pasteurize their dairy products. So I'd be very leery of eating anything. Sure. Dairy doesn't agree with me on a good day, let alone if it ain't been pasteurized.
Yeah.
I don't care for yogurt products either, so I would probably be like, is that like a Greek yogurt? You know, I wouldn't do
Just
any
keep
yogurt.
Keep the lobster soup and bread coming.
I really think that he did this on purpose, knowing that we would record before lunch.
Well, if you keep talking, Kim, you ain't going to eat today.
She's salivating.
I know. She's thinking about that Subway. After dinner, we will retreat over to the Ion Adventure Hotel. It's located about an hour's drive from the restaurant near Thingvellir National Park. This modern hotel is set in a dramatic landscape of lava fields and geothermal springs.
Ooh, how warm.
Right? It offers a perfect blend of luxury and adventure. The hotel's architecture seemingly integrates with the surrounding nature, with large windows providing panoramic views of the rugged Icelandic landscape.
I bet that's gorgeous.
Well, the Ion Adventure Hotel is designed to offer comfort in the midst of Iceland's wild beauty. The rooms are minimalist yet cozy, with Icelandic wool throws, floor-to-ceiling windows, and eco-friendly amenities. After a day of exploration, we will relax in the hotel's geothermal outdoor pool, which is heated by natural hot springs.
Hell yeah.
And it offers Stunning views of the Northern Lights.
Oh, yeah.
On clear days.
Yeah.
Whenever I hear eco-friendly amenities at a hotel, I'm like, oh, so the thin toilet paper.
Right. The hotel also features a spa and a gourmet restaurant that focuses on sustainable Icelandic cuisine, making it a perfect place to unwind and reflect on our next mysterious adventure.
How lovely.
Now, day three, we're going to go over to Romania, Transylvania. We're going to begin the day in the heart of Transylvania with a visit to Braun Castle. It's famous for being known as Dracula's Castle. It's nestled atop a rocky hill. Now, this imposing fortress looms over the surrounding landscape. Its towers and turrets are straight out of a Gothic novel. This castle's strategic location at the entrance to the picturesque Braun Gorge made it an important defense point throughout history. Although it's often associated with the fictional character Count Dracula, Braun Castle has a rich history that predates Bram Stoker's novel. Built in the 14th century, this castle was initially constructed as a fortress to defend against invasions by the Ottoman Empire. It has served as a royal residence and a border defense, and today it is one of Romania's most popular tourist attractions. The connection to Dracula comes from the castle's association with Vlad the Impaler, a 15th century Wallachian prince whose brutal methods of punishment, including impalement, inspired the Dracula legend. As we explore the castle's winding staircases, dark chambers, and secret passageways, we'll encounter exhibits that detail its history, as well as a collection of medieval weapons and armor. Ooh. The atmosphere within the castle is thick with mystery, as the ancient stone walls seem to whisper the tales of the centuries past.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, after our visit to Braun Castle, we'll travel over to the medieval town of What did you just do?
She throwing
stuff. Just knocked off my papers.
Oh my gosh. Now you can't see all of our photos.
If you give me a second.
All right. Will you go ahead while I finish this?
It's day three. She hurt and she done.
Right. We're going to go over and we're going to travel to the medieval town of Sighisaara, one of the best preserved fortified towns in Europe, and the birthplace of Vlad the Impaler. This town is a UNESCO World Heritage Site with its cobblestone streets, colorful houses, and fortified walls, offering us a glimpse into the past.
How fun.
The town is steeped in history with its roots tracing back to the 12th century, with Saxon merchants, craftsmen settled in the area. The town is perhaps best known as the birthplace of Vlad, who was born here in 1431. His father, Vlad Dracul, was a member of the Order of the Dragon, and the house where Vlad was born still stands today.
Wow.
Yeah, it's now a museum and a restaurant.
How cool.
As we wander through the town, we'll explore the Clock Tower. It's the town's most iconic landmark. It was built in the 14th century. The tower houses a fascinating history museum, and it offers panoramic views of the town from its observation deck. It also features a mechanic clock with figurines that move at the top of every hour, adding to the town's charm. We'll also visit the church on the hill. This is a beautiful Gothic church accessed by a covered wooden staircase known as the Scholar's Stairs. The church's interior is adorned with medieval frescoes, I think is how it's pronounced, and wooden pews, creating an atmosphere of quietness and mystery.
Growing older has been less mysterious ever since I started using Hormone Harmony to help with the symptoms of menopause. Between the sleepless nights, random hot flashes, mild mood swings, it was making it really difficult to focus, rest, and enjoy myself. Hormone Harmony has helped make traveling around with two young men in a mystery machine a lot more bearable. Hormone harmony is not just for those of us suffering from menopause. Women who have symptoms of hormonal imbalances can benefit from hormone harmony. It has helped guide me through the mystery of menopause into a more harmonious journey through a natural process in each woman's life. The company behind Hormone Harmony, Happy Mammoth, advocates for women and helps them regain control of their hormones. With over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, more women are feeling more like themselves now more than ever. Thank you, Hormone Harmony, for unmasking the monster behind my menopause. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MYSTERY for 15% off today.
Now for dinner, we're going to dine at Casa Vlad Dracul, located at the house where Vlad was born. The restaurant's medieval decor, complete with stone walls, wooden beams, and candlelit tables, it creates an authentic Transylvanian atmosphere. The staff all dress in traditional costumes, and it further enhances that feeling that we've stepped back into time.
Like Connor Prairie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is a place in Indianapolis. The menu at this place offers traditional Romanian cuisine with a focus on hearty, flavorful dishes. No Subway, Kim. They start with a bowl of corba de berta, a tangy tripe soup.
Nope.
Flavored with vinegar, garlic, and sour cream. It's a favorite comfort food in Romania. For the main course, we'll try some sarlame, a classic Romanian dish, which is made of cabbage leaves stuffed with a mixture of minced pork, beef, and rice, which is slowly cooked into a rich tomato soup.
That don't sound bad.
No. The dish is also served with marmalaga, a type of cornmeal porridge similar to polenta, and a dollop of sour cream.
I'd eat that, but I am never going to eat tripe. Hell no.
I don't think
I would try. I don't eat stomach.
I might try a piece of it, but...
You going to eat stomach?
If I don't know his stomach.
It looks, you're like, this still ain't
one of those things again.
This ain't like a...
So I can see myself now when I'm going to edit this episode. I'll have my phone in one hand as I'm editing it and looking up all of this crap that you keep talking about. Because
what is this?
That's what I do every time if we talk about something. Well,
good, because then while you're doing that, you can save the photos. And then you can just upload all the photos to Patreon for all of our listeners. So they don't have to go looking them up. They can just slide through the show.
We'll
so
see.
For dessert, we're going to indulge, if I can pronounce it right, in papanasi, which is deep-fried donuts.
Okay. Oh.
Made from a mixture of sweet cheese and semolina, served with sour cream and fresh preserves.
Oh, that sounds pretty darn good.
I'd try that.
And we'll pair it with a glass of local red wine and a shot of tuca, a traditional Romanian plum brandy.
Hmm. You're probably going to get me wasted.
I know. Every day we're just going to have people pushing us around.
Especially in Scotland, like whiskey's water to them, basically. We'll be, oh, I can't no more.
All right. So after dinner, we're going to travel to the nearby village of Miklosvar, where we'll stay at Count Kalnoki's guest houses. This is a collection of charming centuries-old cottages owned by the noble Kalnoki family. The guest houses have been lovingly restored to preserve their historic character, with traditional Transylvanian furnishing and decor that reflect the region's cultural heritage. Each guest house is unique, featuring antique furniture, hand-woven textiles, and cozy fireplaces. The rooms are lit by candlelight, adding to the rustic charm and creating a warm, inviting atmosphere. The guest houses are set in the tranquil countryside, surrounded by forests and rolling hills. They offer a peaceful retreat from the modern world. And in the evening, we can gather around the fire in the common room. We can share stories with fellow travelers or simply enjoy the serene silence of the Transylvanian night.
Oh.
And day four, I thought, well, it wouldn't be a world trip if we don't travel over to Egypt.
That is my number one bucket list item.
To Egypt.
You would melt.
I would. I would be enjoy miserable. It. I would be miserable, but I have always had a thing with the pyramids.
You're short enough and to be able to
I put them on this list for you.
Did you?
We're going to begin That's our day in Cairo.
Nice.
With a visit to one of the most iconic and mysterious sites in the world, the Giza Plateau. Here, we're going to explore the awe-inspiring Great Pyramids of Giza, the last remaining wonder of the ancient world, and the Sphinx, which guards the pyramids with its majestic yet mysterious presence. Now, the Great Pyramids were built during the 4th dynasty of the Old Kingdom, which was around 2580 to 2560 BC. Their architectural marvels have fascinated historians, archaeologists, and travelers for millennia. The largest of the three, the Great Pyramid of Khufu, was originally 146.6 meters tall, and it held the record for the tallest man-made structure in the world for over 3,800 years.
Wow.
I know. I believe it held that record until the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, wow.
I believe that's correct. The pyramids were constructed as monumental tombs for the pharaohs designed to help them ascend to the afterlife. As we stand before these colossal structures, we'll be struck by their sheer size and the precision with which they were built, sparking questions about their methods used by the ancient Egyptians. Nearby, the Great Sphinx, carved from a single block of limestone, presents one of the world's oldest and largest monolithic statues. The Sphinx, with the body of a lion and the head of a pharaoh, is thought to represent the sun god, what's going to call him Ra? The sun god Ra. I tried to be professional.
Yeah, I've only heard it as Ra.
Yeah, his full name is Ra Horakhti, but people just call him Ra for short because I think the full name is kind of hard to pronounce. However, its true purpose and the identity of the pharaoh depicted remain subjects of debate among scholars, adding to its enduring mystery.
Some even believe it originally might have had the head of a lion, which is why the head on it is so disproportionate to the rest of the body. You know, those pharaohs, you got to have a statue.
Right.
I don't think that you can actually go into the pyramids when you go there because they were tombs. So I think that would be very rude to enter someone's tomb.
I know that they're open for scientists and stuff, but I believe that they closed them. But I mean, you can look up pictures from the late 18, early 1900s, and people used to climb them on holiday, have picnics at the top of it.
Oh, yeah.
Baffling.
Yeah. I think that, locals and scientists and archaeologists had realized at some point that if they want to keep it safe and, keep it around, they're going to have to restrict it. And also from a standpoint of Egyptians, if you want to respect why they were built as someone's tomb.
Right.
So we don't.
As a power station.
right. So after we marvel at the wonders of Giza, we will head over to the Egyptian Museum, and I think it's Tahrir, in Tahrir Square, which is in Cairo, to delve deeper into Egypt's rich history. The museum houses the world's most extensive collection of ancient Egyptian artifacts, spanning over 5,000 years of history.
Wow.
I know. The Egyptian Museum, established in 1902, is a treasure trove of antiquities, offering a journey throughout the history and culture of ancient Egypt. The museum's most famous exhibit is the collection of treasures from the tomb of Tutankhamun, the boy king who ruled during the 18th dynasty. Discovered in 1922 by Howard Carter, the tomb was filled with gold, jewels, and everyday items intended to accompany the king into the afterlife. The centerpiece of the collection is the iconic golden death mask of Tutankhamun. intricately crafted and inlaid with precious stones. And as we wander through the museum, we'll also encounter mummies, statues, jewelry, and items from daily life, each artifact telling a story of a civilization that was both advanced and deeply spiritual. The museum's dimly lit, labyrinthian halls will add to the sense of mystery as we uncover the secret of ancient Egypt, one exhibit at a time. And I know you're probably getting hungry by now on this day. Not just right now, but I'm talking about on this day, Kim. Calm down. Well, for dinner, we are going to head over to the historic Naguib Mahfouz Cafe in the heart of Islamic Cairo, located in the bustling Khan El Khalil Bazaar.
I'm going to have to butch it up for this trip. Homosexual? No, right? I love women.
Can't get enough of them. Named after Egypt's Nobel Prize winning author, the cafe is a beloved spot for locals and tourists alike, offering an authentic taste of Egyptian culture. Now, the menu here offers a variety of traditional Egyptian dishes, served in a setting that invokes the charm of old Cairo. I thought we can start with a mezi. These are small plates that include hummus,
naan bread,
baba ganoush.
Baba ganoush.
Yeah, which is roasted eggplant dip, apparently. And falafel, which is made from ground chickpeas and herbs.
So good.
For the main course, we can try koshari, which is Egypt's national dish. It's this hearty and flavorful mix of rice, lentils, pasta, chickpeas, and a spicy tomato sauce.
I don't do spice.
I got Imodium. You'll be all right.
Yeah, you'll be fine, Kim. Get you a Tums.
I've had Egyptian food several times. There used to be one in Broad Ripple. It was an Egyptian restaurant / hookah bar.
Really?
And I think I went to that once.
Very good. Yeah. Like nothing I've had there was that I didn't like.
Well, that whole meal is also topped with fried onions. Ooh. Another popular dish is mokhali. It's a green leafy vegetable stew flavored with garlic and coriander, typically served with rice and chicken or rabbit. For dessert, we can enjoy basalbasa. For dessert, we can try dish that I can't pronounce. It's a sweet semolina cake, which is soaked in syrup, or amala, which is a warm bread pudding made with puff pastry, milk, nuts, and raisins.
I love bread pudding
too.
And we can also pair our meal with a cup of strong Egyptian coffee.
Yes, please.
Or a refreshing hibiscus tea.
Both.
After dinner, we will return to our Marriott Mina House Hotel.
Oh, good, a Marriott.
Right. Use some of my rewards. It's a luxurious oasis located near the Giza Plateau. They offer stunning views of the Great Pyramids from its lush gardens. The hotel was originally built as a hunting lodge in the 19th century, and it's hosted royalty, dignitaries, and celebrities, making it a historic landmark all in its own right. The Mina House Hotel combines old-world charm with modern luxury. The rooms are elegantly furnished with rich fabrics, traditional woodwork, and balconies that overlook the pyramids or the hotel's beautiful gardens. The hotel's extensive grounds feature a large swimming pool, a spa offering traditional Egyptian treatments, and several dining options, including a terraced restaurant where we can enjoy breakfast and a view of the pyramids. The hotel's location is just a stone throw from the Giza Plateau, so that will allow us to immerse ourselves in the ancient history of Egypt while enjoying the comforts of a world-class hotel.
Oh, you bet I'll be living my Cleopatra best life.
Oh, I bet they have toilet paper in a Marriott. I bet they got toilet paper.
Might be a bidet. Either way, better than just a hand.
Right. All right, so next, for day 5, we are going to travel over to Jordan, to Petra. We're going to begin the journey in Jordan by visiting the ancient city of Petra. This is also a UNESCO World Heritage Site and one of the new seven wonders of the world. The adventure begins with a walk through the Sikh. I think that's how it's pronounced, the Sikh, a narrow, widening gorge that serves as the... Josh, don't even... We were going to joke about you, Kim, but...
I was, too.
When I wrote that down, I thought, Josh is going to make fun of Kim. As the dramatic entrance to Petra. The Sikh is about 1.2 kilometers long, with towering sandstone cliffs on either side, some reaching up to 80 meters in height. Now, as we make our way through the Sikh, we'll notice ancient carvings and water channels along the rock walls, evidence of the people's advanced engineering and artistic skills. The people were an Arabic people. Now, their names were, I think it's pronounced Nabataeans, and these people had established Petra as their capital around the 4th century BC. They were masterful traders and architects. The Sikh was a ceremonial route leading to Petra's most famous monument, which is the one that you guys have a picture of. The treasury, which is called Al-Khazina. As we reach the end of the Sikh, the narrow passage suddenly opens to reveal the treasury, an awe-inspiring sight that has captured the imagination of travelers for centuries. The treasury's facade is carefully carved out of the rose-red sandstone cliffs, featuring a blend of Hellenistic and Nabataean architectural styles. It was originally built as a mausoleum and crypt, but its exact purpose remains shrouded in mystery. The treasury gained a worldwide fame after being featured in the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. But its real history is even more fascinating. As we stand before this magnificent structure, we'll feel the weight of history and the enduring mystery that surrounds it.
It's also in a supernatural workout.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now, after taking on the grandeur of the treasury, we'll continue our exploration of Petra by venturing deeper into the ancient city, walking along the street lined with tombs and houses carved into the cliffs, and ascend into the steps to the royal tombs, a group of large, ornately decorated tombs believed to be the resting places of the kings. Petra was once a thriving metropolis, strategically located at the crossroads of trade routes connecting Arabia, Egypt, and the Mediterranean. The city was carved directly into the rose-red cliffs of the Wadi Musa, a feat of engineering and artistry that has withstood the test of time. The royal tombs with their grand facades showcase the wealth and power of Petra's elite. Each tomb is unique with intricate carvings that depict gods, goddesses, and geometric patterns, reflecting the people's cultural influences from Greece, Rome, and the East. Next, we're going to visit the Petra Theater, a massive structure that's carved into the mountainside. It's capable of seating up to 8,500 people.
Good gravy.
I know. The theater was likely used for both performances and public gatherings, highlighting Petra's role as a cultural hub in the ancient world. Finally, we'll make our way over to the Great Temple, one of the largest and most complex structures in Petra, believed to have been a place of worship and an administrative center. The temple complex features a grand staircase, a colonnaded courtyard, and numerous rooms, offering a glimpse into the religious and political life of the people.
Oh, cool.
And as the sun sets over Petra, we're going to head to Petra Kitchen, a unique dining experience where you can learn to cook traditional Jordanian dishes alongside local chefs. Now, the restaurant's located in the modern town of Wadi Musa, which is just a short distance from the entrance to Petra. Petra Kitchen offers a hands-on cooking class where we'll prepare a variety of traditional Jordanian dishes using fresh local ingredients. The menu typically includes starters like baba ganoush, is that how you pronounce it?
Mm-hmm.
A smoky eggplant dip and whatever that is. It's a salad made with parsley, tomatoes, and bulgur wheat. For the main course, we'll learn to make dishes like mansaf, which is Jordan's national dish, which consists of lamb cooked in fermented dried yogurt sauce, served with rice, and garnished with pine nuts.
Gonna come back so skinny from this trip.
Another popular dish is makwalba, a savory upside-down rice, and it's a meat dish cooked with vegetables and spices.
What kind of meat?
It just said a meat dish.
Oh.
Your guess. Whatever they can find. For dessert,
the mystery meat.
Right. For dessert, we're going to try the nafe, a sweet pastry made with layers of cheese and semolina, soaked in syrup and topped with crushed pistachios.
Ooh, I'd be about that.
The cooking class is fun and an interactive way to immerse ourselves in Jordanian culture. And we'll get to enjoy the meal that we helped prepare, along with our fellow travelers. After dinner, we'll travel to the stunning desert landscape of Wadi Rum, where we'll spend the night in a traditional Bouding camp. Wadi Rum, also known as the Valley of the Moon, is a protected desert wilderness known for its towering sandstone mountains,
ooh,
red sand dunes, and ancient rock carvings. The Boudins, which are the indigenous people of the desert, have lived in this region for centuries. And staying here offers a unique opportunity to experience their way of life. The camp blends traditional and modern comforts with spacious tents. I don't know how I feel about that. Furnished with comfortable beds, rugs, and low tables. The tents are made from goat hair, woven by the local women, and provide warmth during the cool desert nights. The camp is powered by solar energy, and they are shared bathroom facilities with hot showers.
Is this a hole-in-the-floor type of country for a toilet?
I didn't see a picture of their bathroom facility.
They're like, you don't want it.
All right. In the evening, we'll gather around the campfire under a sky filled with stars, and we'll listen to stories of the local legends and traditions of the people.
Ooh.
And we can also enjoy a traditional Bouden Zarb, which was a meal that's cooked in an underground oven, featuring a lamb or chicken with vegetables and spices served with fresh flatbread. The serene and otherworldly landscape of Wadi Rum combined with the warm hospitality of the Bedouins makes for an unforgettable overnight experience. And I'm sure you're asking, where's our last night going to be?
Please tell me.
I'm going to tell you. We're going to go to Japan. We're going to go to Kyoto. We're going to start our day in Kyoto with a visit to Fushimi Inari Taisha, one of Japan's most iconic and mysterious Shinto shrines. This shrine was dedicated to Inari, the Shinto god of rice, prosperity, and business. They're famous for its thousands of vermilion tortilla gates that form a series of tunnels winding up to Mount Inari. This place was founded in 711 AD and has been an important religious site for centuries. The torii gates, donated by individuals and businesses seeking blessings, create a mesmerizing path that leads to the forested mountains. As we ascend, we'll pass smaller shrines, each with its own unique charm, featuring stone foxes, which are called kistun, which are believed to be messengers of Inari. The kistun statues often hold a symbolic key in their mouths, representing the key to the rice granary. The shrine's complex includes several sacred structures, including the main hall, which is called the Hoden, and the Kagura Hall, where traditional dances are performed. The walk to the summit takes about 2 to 3 hours, offering breathtaking views of Kyoto along the way.
Do they have scooters?
Mm-hmm. You can walk 2 to 3 hours if you can't eat less.
Looks subway. Like steps.
The mystical atmosphere combined with the natural beauty of the area makes this a spiritual and serene experience. Now, after exploring that place, we're going to make our way over to Arashami. Nope. Arashiyama. Go die in a pit, Josh.
I watch a lot of ancient aliens. Arashiyama. And they cover all these
Arashiyama. We're going to make our way over to Arashiyama Bamboo Grove, one of Kyoto's most photographed and otherworldly landscapes. The Bamboo Grove is located in the Arashiyama district. This is a popular area known for its scenic beauty and historical significance. This bamboo grove is a magical place that has towering bamboo stalks that sway gently in the breeze. It creates a soothing, rustling sound that adds to the tranquil atmosphere. The pathway through the grove is relatively short, but it offers a sense of otherworldliness, as the dense bamboo creates a natural canopy that filters the sunlight. It creates this soft green glow. The grove has been the source of inspiration for artists and poets for centuries, and it remains a symbol of Kyoto's natural beauty. After walking through the bamboo grove, we can visit the nearby Tenryuji Temple, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. This is one of Kyoto's most important Zen temples, which was founded in 1339, and it's famous for its beautiful Sogenshi Garden. Designed by the renowned garden designer Moshu Soki. The garden features a tranquil pond surrounded by rocks, pine trees, and the mountains as a backdrop, creating a perfect example of what they called borrowed scenery, which I believe in Japanese is called shaki. In this Japanese garden design.
Did you know that bamboo is one of the fastest growing yes. plants? And you can actually hear it growing.
I didn't know you could hear it.
Oh my God. It and you're like,
you can hear ex? It?
Yeah, if it's like humid enough and quiet enough, you can like, I mean, even corn, if you stand in the middle of a cornfield at night when corn grows, you can sometimes hear it growing.
Keeps you. We know what Kim's doing. tonight. She'll get lost in the cornfield.
Like, do you know how many cornfields I live by?
Right. Exactly.
Now, as the afternoon fades into the evening, we're going to head over to the historic Gion District, Kyoto's most famous geisha district.
Ooh.
Gion is known for its traditional wooden meisha houses, tea houses, and the chance to glimpse what they call Geiko, which is Kyoto's term for a geisha, and a meiko, which is the apprentice of a geisha, as they go about their evening engagements. Gion has been the heart of Kyoto's entertainment and cultural life for centuries. Walking through the narrow streets will feel as if we've stepped back in time. The area is filled with tea houses, where the geishas perform traditional music, dance, and games for guests.
That would be cool.
The preservation of these traditions in Gion is a testament to Kyoto's dedication to maintaining its cultural heritage. As we explore...
What geishas do.
Right? I know, but what's on that?
Oh, it's glittery unicorns.
I don't think they have that, though. As we explore, we're going to visit the Yasaka Shrine, a prominent Shinto shrine that dates back to 656 AD.
Wow.
Located at the eastern end of Shijo-dori. This shrine is particularly lively during festivals and is a significant cultural landmark in Kyoto. For dinner, we will indulge in a traditional kaiseki meal, Japan's haute cuisine, at a local ryokan or fine dining restaurant in Gion. This is a multi-course meal that emphasizes seasonal ingredients, meticulous preparation, and exquisite presentation.
Ooh.
Each dish is a work of art, carefully arranged to reflect the season and the balance of flavors and textures.
Sounds a lot better than stomach and yogurt.
The meals typically begin with an amuse-bouche.
An amuse-bouche.
Yeah. Followed by a series of courses that may include sashimi, which is raw fish, nemono, which is simmered vegetables, yakamono, which is grilled dishes, and ajimono, which is fried dishes. The meal may also feature a soup course, such as miso soup or clear broth, and a rice dish. Seasonal ingredients like Kyoto vegetables, fresh seafood, and locally sourced meats are the stars for the meal. For dessert, we're going to enjoy a delicate wagashi, which is a word that means Japanese sweet, made with azuki beans and served with matcha, powdered green tea. This experience is not just about the food, it's about the ambiance, the setting, and the ritual of dining, making it a deeply cultural and sensory experience, which is important for the people. After dinner, we're going to spend the night in a traditional Ryokan, which is a Japanese inn. This will offer a unique and immersive cultural experience.
That means we sleep it on the floor.
Ryokans are known for their impeccable hospitality, known as omotenashi. Yeah, omotenashi.
Sounds right.
And their tranquil settings, often located in scenic areas or historic dishes. At the Ryokan, we'll stay in a tatami matted room with sliding soji doors, futon bedding, and low wooden tables. Kim would never get up.
I have to peel her off the floor in the morning. Help, I gotta pee.
Come on, come get me off this floor.
Somebody help.
I've fallen. I can't get up. The rooms are minimalist. It's designed to promote peace and relaxation. Many of these rooms offer access to an osen, which means hot spring bath or a private bath, where we can soak and unwind after a week of exploration. The Ryokan may also serve a traditional Japanese breakfast, featuring dishes like grilled fish, tamokeki.
Fish for breakfast?
Which is a rolled omelet, rice, pickles, and miso soup. Staying at a Ryokan allows us to experience the essence of Japanese hospitality and culture, making it a perfect way to end our day in Kyoto.
They'd kick me out of the country at breakfast when they give me rice for breakfast. And I'm like, can I have some sugar and butter, please?
Kim would be like, do you got a breakfast sandwich or something? I need some sausage or bacon, some eggs.
How do you say Subway?
You got some wheat toast, some white toast. I need some wheat.
Got that white flour.
All right, guys. So for my shit fire today, I found this story. So I was trying to find, you know, a mystery or something to cover today, and I actually came across this story. So my shit fire is going to be a little different because I just wanted to tell you guys about this story. So I didn't figure out kind of an exact way to tell it as a shit fire story, but I'm just going to wing it. So I discovered this artist. That's new to me. I didn't know a lot of artists because I grew up like white trash and we just didn't know a lot of art. I'd never been to an art facility until I was a lot older. But this guy, he's an Italian artist named, gosh, why do I keep doing this to myself?
I don't know.
Mara. Anyway, there was this Italian artist named Maurizio Catalan. Anyway, he had created a lot of like famous artwork and he's well known. I think he's still alive. I don't know. Anyway, he had created this artwork that was rather famous, and it's called America. And it is this pure 18-karat pure gold functional toilet. And it was in New York City for a long time.
Trump Tower?
No. It was like on display in New York City, an art museum. And his artistic mind was showing that, you know, the elite in America have enough money for these golden toilets, but yet at the end of the day, they still do the same things the poor people do.
Everybody poops.
Yeah. But so like when you see it, you just like have this like a lot of thoughts and feelings, you know, like, oh my gosh, it's a toilet that we all have seen. We all have seen this, like a toilet, but this is an exact replica of toilets that we've seen made of pure 18 karat gold. So it's just, you know, whatever.
Right.
But anyway, so it is worth, at the time when he made it, $6 million.
Jesus.
In 2019, $6 million of a toilet. Right. So it was on display in New York City, and then it got moved to England in a palace in England.
I'd have for, to take
for
a
it to be on display.
Oh, I would break into the museum, and I'd just have
well,
to.
Funny that you say that. Someone, these people break into this palace to steal this $6 million gold toilet. Well, shit far.
Literally.
I know. So they go in and steal it one day. And I thought, boy, like someone has, I think they'll have good security. But not only did they steal it, this is, it was a functional toilet. So like they had it hooked up and everything.
Oh my God.
So when they stole it, they ripped that sucker out of the wall. They caused a lot of damage. Like water goes everywhere. I mean, caused a lot, I mean, a lot of damage in the palace.
I have to know, I want to know how they even carried it out. Cause if it's pure gold, it's
going to be
heavy as crap.
I know, like, can you imagine like a palace like that not having enough security to like cover anything?
Gold's fairly light for metal. In 2019.
This is 2019 though.
Yeah.
Like for them to just like, oh my God.
I thought gold was one of the lightest metals.
Oh no, gold's heavy. Have you never?
Yeah, gold's really
heavy. Gold's heavy.
It's like very soft.
Well, yeah, but you also have to think that a lot of times when we see gold now, it's gold-plated things. But gold, like a gold, a fully plated gold toilet would be really heavy. Like gold bricks are heavy.
Hmm.
Like full gold bricks would be heavy.
You have your phone, Josh. Look and see how much a gold brick weighs.
I know I've seen like gold rings and like they were so soft that you had to be careful or you would like bend it.
Yeah, but maybe they're thin, you know, but this is, I mean, toilets aren't going to be light anyway. But anyway, so evidently they're able to get out of this palace with this gold toilet. And there were some arrests made several years later. I think it was like 2023. So like last year, people were arrested. But shit fire. They have never found this toilet.
What in the crap could they have done with it?
Melted it down.
I believe. I mean, yeah, my best guess is they probably have melted down that toilet.
I'd be walking around with a gold smile.
He's like, I know. Yeah. Like a gold tooth.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good part about gold, you know. It, I mean, it has a low melting point.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, just a regular fire and you can.
Yeah.
Oh, we got.
Well, and the thing is like they probably wouldn't be purchasing it as an art piece.
Right.
They're purchasing it.
Because they want the money out of it.
Not purchasing it. They're probably stealing it for the gold.
Yeah.
They're going to steal it for their gold and melt it down. And then, like, after that point, you're like, once you melt it down, if someone sees the gold, oh, well, it's just gold.
I inherited it.
Yeah, it's just gold. You know, now you're not going to be caught with a stolen art object worth $6
million.
It's crazy. That is crazy. Did you find out how much it weighed?
I Googled how much is gold and it said, it came up, the weight of 1 pound of gold is a pound. I'm like, well, no shit. God. Yeah. I didn't press further. I'm like, nope.
The mystery lives on.
I guess.
Well, that's all that we have for today. But join us on Unmasked for two more day locations that we're going to travel to.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Where shall they be?
They shall be places. And we also have other places to talk about in next week episodes for Josh's mystery. So we're going to have a lot of fun.
We're going to be traveling for my mystery as well.
Oh, good. Did you print us pictures?
Back to a country we've already been to on this trip. Just a different area.
Oh, good. That's funny.
When I saw it, I was like, he better not.
That would have been pretty good.
Wallop his ass.
That's the first time that anybody's even come close to doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mentioned one of the places we're going to in my mystery, but just as a mention, because it's similar to my mystery.
That's funny.
So it'll be fun.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and start Unmasked. Don't forget to visit us on social media. We are on Unmasked on Patreon. So you'll find the link in the show notes. Visit us there. You can find all of our merchandise. Kim sells her blankets on Patreon. So just go visit us on Patreon. We're real cool. We post photos. Josh does his cooking videos.
Yeah, my fried green tomatoes I put on there yesterday.
Oh my God, I wanted one. Oh my God,
I haven't had a chance to eat
that sandwich so fast.
I bet you did.
You need it, Kim, because I make fun of you a little bit.
Great.
Well, you know when you batter stuff, you get like a doughy coating on your fingers. Mm-hmm. Well, I washed my hands and then I said, now that my hands no longer look like Kim's exes when it pulls them out of her panties.
Oh my God.
You are horrible. Horrible human beings, I swear.
All right, guys. We'll see you over on Unmasked.
Yeah. All right. Bye.